England, Canada, and Australia, and from its home campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. The PCG also supports Herbert W. Armstrong College and the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. The PCG produces KPCG, broadcasting online at kpcg.fm and at 101.3 FM from the church's home campus in North Edmond. Information about the Philadelphia Church of God is available on its website, pcog.org.
Thank you. Good morning. It's the top of the hour. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, KPCG.FM online, and 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area. Here are the latest headlines from Feature Story News.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. Ukrainian troops appear to be making progress in their counteroffensive against Russian forces. A key village near the city of Bakhmut in the eastern part of the country is the latest area to be recaptured. Megumi Lim has more from Kyiv.
The retaking of Klishchiivka could mark an important development in the ongoing Ukrainian counteroffensive. The village lies on higher ground, which will allow Ukrainian troops to operate artillery more easily and take on entrenched Russian positions in and around Bakhmut, a city that fell to Moscow's troops in May this year. President Zelensky commended the soldiers, and Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Maliar said more than 51 square kilometers of territory around Bakhmut has been retaken since the start of the counteroffensive.
More women have come forward with claims about comedian and actor Russell Brand. The Times newspaper, which first reported the story, says it's working to verify new allegations. Mr. Brand has denied claims of rape and sexual assault, and says any relationships have always been consensual. A number of investigations have been launched by TV production companies and broadcasters who used to have ties to the comedian. The initial allegations date from 2006 to 2013, when he was at the height of his fame. Dr. Charlotte Proudman is the director of the gender equality organisation Right to Equality. She's not surprised that the allegations have taken so long to emerge.
One of the also common things that people are saying online is, well, why didn't they go to the police? Why is this trial by social media? And I think it's a good question and a valid one. We know that many women, indeed men, who experience rape or alleged sexual assault don't report to the police. And part of that is a symptom of a broken justice system where so few reports even get to the stage where they are prosecuted and even result in a conviction in court.
Apple supplier Foxconn is aiming to double its investment and the number of jobs in India over the next year. The Taiwan-based company, which has an iPhone factory in South India, has been expanding in the country as it diversifies away from China. Rebecca Bunden reports.
Foxconn's representative in India, V. Lee, in a LinkedIn post said that the company is aiming for another doubling of employment, FDI, foreign direct investment, and business size in India by this time next year. The post was shared to mark Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's 73rd birthday. Foxconn makes iPhones in Tamil Nadu in South India, where it has some 40,000 employees. It also plans to start production of the devices in another state, Karnataka, next year. The Indian government has been pushing to increase manufacturing in the country under its Make in India initiative in an effort to boost jobs and the economy.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
The Trumpet Daily is presented by Stephen Fleury. The program analyzes world news and history from a distinct perspective and compares current events to prophecies found in the Bible. The program also offers free educational publications, including the Trumpet News Magazine and books and booklets. The Trumpet Daily is produced at the Philadelphia Church of God's home campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, and its sister campus in Edstone, England. More information is available at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This trial has displayed for the country to see a partisan fight within the Republican Party. Let's just call it for what it is. That's what we're seeing here. It's being played out on TVs across the country. There is a battle for power. Now, if you decided this case from the Houston Chronicle, the Texas Tribune, Texas Monthly, the Dallas Morning News. Oh, my goodness gracious, Ken Paxton's guilty. But there ain't no evidence to support it. The only evidence we have in this case is they don't like Ken Paxton. And there is no doubt. There have been hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of articles about Ken Paxton, how bad Ken Paxton is. Everybody has heard it, and guess what? The voters heard it too, and guess what? Ken Paxton won, hands down, resounding victory. He beat the latest in line for the Bushes. Let it be known, let it be clear now. The Bush era in Texas ends today. We thought it had ended in the primary when Ken Paxton beat George P. Bush 68-32. Well, we thought it was over. It wasn't. Well, now we have an impeachment. It ends today. They can go back to Maine. This is Texas.
If they make a movie about this impeachment, Matthew McConaughey needs to play the attorney there, Tony Busby. Speaking during the closing arguments on Friday, saying that the Bush era in Texas is over. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. We're off and running Monday morning here in Oklahoma. Beautiful day outside. Hopefully it's beautiful wherever you are. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to our website. You can see the show live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Also, don't forget about our Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily. You can get in on the live chat. You can leave some feedback. And of course, you can rumble up if you're over at our Rumble channel. The live, or rather the replay of the live show, it's also on LFA TV every weeknight at 8 p.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. So, the trial, that was a clip from the closing argument on Friday. And then on Saturday, we got the news that Ken Paxton, he was acquitted on all 16 articles of impeachment. The Senate, the House, I believe, they threw together the impeachment a couple months ago in something like 4 hours. So, I mean, they were sure. They were sure that Ken Paxton was guilty because, well, the Dallas Morning News said so. The Houston Chronicle said so, as Busby pointed out there. He had already been convicted by your friends in the regime media. And so, of course, I mean, it was just a rubber stamp that the Senate was going to put on the process. Well, the case, as you know, we've covered bits and pieces of it here on this program. It blew up in the faces of these rhino Republicans, who, by the way, were quite happy to work with the radical Democrats. I know it's just one state, but the reason we've got to spend some time on it here this morning is because it reveals so much about what Donald Trump not only has exposed, but what he's going up against. It's like this issue of the Trumpet magazine brings out, ready for war. I'll give you a quote from it in just a moment. But you have Donald Trump standing virtually alone against Democrats and Republicans alike. The uniparty. The Bush Republicans, so says this attorney, they're dead. Ken Paxton, he's acquitted of this sham impeachment charge. 16 articles, just crazy. And you see all the witnesses that were paraded forth admitting that they had no evidence. It was just based on innuendo, rumor, gossip. No actual evidence of wrongdoing or of criminality. They just lied. They made it up. These were disgruntled former employees. That's what it amounts to. This is from that January issue. My father says here, the battle lines are drawn. The stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy. It says, on the one side of this political battle in America is the Democratic Party and the radical left. There's also, we now know, establishment Republicans. That's right. They are joined by the media. That's right. The Dallas Morning News, the Houston Chronicle, the Austin Statesman, all of them. Both leftist and conservative. They're joined by big tech. And with the single exception now of Twitter, it says all are arrayed together. On the other side is Donald Trump, virtually alone. Well, he's alone with respect to all of these powerful institutions. But he does have the majority support of America. That attorney mentioned there that Paxton won. He won his re-election campaign last year, 68-32. Overwhelming support from just ordinary Texans. 68-32. George P. Bush was just crushed. That's what it amounted to. This is from Sundance at Conservative Treehouse. It says, do not let it escape your notice that not a single professional Republican entity has stood up to show support for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton or congratulate him on the clear and decisive impeachment victory against the corrupt uniparty system in the Lone Star State. Where are all the Republicans congratulating him? Where were they defending him when the impeachment sham was going on? Well, they were like so many Republicans in Washington, D.C. when they impeached Donald Trump. Not once, but twice. And Republican, good old establishment Republicans, you know, their lips were sealed. It says here, not a word from the Republican Attorneys General Association or any other professional Republican group. See, they all wanted Paxton out. They'd rather have George P. Bush. They'd rather have a Bush Republican. Well, to quote Busby, The Bushes might as well go back to Maine. It says here, instead, only President Donald Trump and the overwhelming majority of the MAGA base have stood strong with Paxton before, during, and after the smear campaign to remove him. It says, keep this big, ugly data point in mind. On the federal side, with the Obama-Biden flooding the border with illegal aliens, Ken Paxton was considered a threat from both the White House and the Texas governor, Greg Abbott. See, where was Greg Abbott? Why didn't he throw his support behind Paxton? Because he wants him out too. He's a good Bush Republican. Yet another rhino. It's like Tucker says about Abbott. Why don't you use your own National Guard and close the border? Just close it. People are coming in by the millions. And they're shipping them all over the country. And you've got ordinary New Yorkers that are furious, that are screaming at AOC and other Democrats. It shows you that these Republicans would rather work with the dear leader. They would rather partner up with the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama, than to show any kind of support for a MAGA Republican, certainly not for Donald Trump. We've talked so much on this show about how that Donald Trump has exposed the radical left. He's exposed the communist insurrection. He's exposed this infiltration. And all the more so since he had the election in 2020 stolen from him. But you can peel the layers back further and see how Donald Trump, just one individual, has exposed the Republican Party as being compromised as well. They may not be full-on communists, but as I say, they would rather partner up with the dear leader than to support any kind of MAGA agenda. That's the truth. I mean, think back even before Donald Trump came along. I mean, you go back to the year 2000, and I'm old enough to remember after all of the hanging Chad drama and then Bush getting in there just barely. And then we had 9/11, 7-8 months into his first year in office. And humanly, it was easy to think, well, boy, I'm sure glad Bush got in there as opposed to Al Gore, because, you know, Bush is so much stronger and he unleashed the American military and so on. And a lot of people were, the country was unified. The country was supportive of that effort. Although I will say, I mean, we at the Trumpet, we obviously didn't see everything that was going to be happening with the development of DHS and all of the intelligence apparatus turned inward toward American citizens. But even we back then knew that all of this effort was going to be, this military effort, first Afghanistan, then Iraq, we knew it was going to be strength spent in vain. Because as we said from the very beginning, well, you're not going after the head of the snake. You're not going after Iran. You're not going to the source of the power, the source of the terror. And so we said, it's weak. This is a weak effort. This is not a strong showing of strength. This is not going to solve the problem. Calling it a war against terrorism, well, you're not even labeling the villain, the opposition. You're just using vague terminology. How do you win a war against terrorism? We said all those things at the Trumpet. But now, I mean, 20-some years on, you have the benefit of hindsight and all that we've witnessed just even in these last few years, or what we're witnessing right now in Texas. Yes, Bush appeared to be stronger compared to Gore, but look at how his party has been exposed now. They're all on the same page. They're all members of the Uniparty. They're all establishment. And they've all been exposed as shepherds, like the ones mentioned in Ezekiel 34. They're just trying to line their pockets. And Sundance says, you know, for Republicans, it's more about the money, and for Democrats, it's more about the power. But both of them, I mean, the Bush dynasty is doing everything. You can see it in this impeachment. They're doing everything that they can to cling to power. And, of course, this is the point that my father makes in America Under Attack. They'll do anything that they can to hold on to power. if you look at this this attorney, Tony Busby, he's a pretty interesting defense lawyer. He's represented those that were trampled over in that Travis Scott concert a few years back. He was also the one that went after BP after the big oil spill. So they probably are going to make a movie about one of his cases or causes before it's all said and done. But there he was on Friday during closing arguments. I mean, how bold. The Senate was listening attentively, not just to closing arguments, but to all these witnesses that were paraded forth. And, I mean, you've got to convince the Senate. I think there were 31 senators, and they needed 21 to convict Paxton. If they would have convicted him on any one of those 16 articles, he'd be done. He'd be done. As it is, he's acquitted on all 16. And here comes the lead attorney for Paxton saying, just mark this down. Today is the day that the Bush era ends. I mean, that's pretty bold. We've talked so often before about just having the courage to stand up for the truth, having the courage to fight back against this communist onslaught. It's refreshing to see when you see it. You don't see it nearly often enough, but when you see it, it is worth drawing some attention to it. Listen to this from the same hearing on Friday, clip 7.
You heard when we started this case, you heard in the media that the evidence is 10 times worse than the public knows, but what a farce that was. What a farce that was. What we have seen instead is a bunch of supposition, mights, maybes, could have been. That's what we've seen in this trial.
Suppositions, maybes, hearsay. The House managers, that's what they propped this entire case up on. Just a lot of innuendo. Well, I thought he might have committed a crime. You thought he might have. Well, did he? Do you have the evidence? Did you bring the receipts? Turns out they didn't. Sundance says there are 12 Democrats and 19 Republicans in the Texas Senate. The majority of the article votes were 16 to 14 in favor of acquittal. Says here, as reflected throughout, I think there were two Republicans that voted for a conviction on a few of the articles. Two. You can be sure that the MAGA Republicans are going to single them out come election time. Two. Anyway, it says, as reflected throughout the impeachment trial, the majority of the accusations came from establishment Bush Republicans in Texas who hold tenuous power over the state Republican apparatus. So they were quite happy to work with those 12 Democrats in the Senate. You had 12 Democrats, and with the case of most of those impeachment articles, then the two rhinos joining on with them. They're happy to work with the dear leader. The Democrats were happy to go along. They're like, well, hey, if you rhinos want to get rid of Paxton, we want to get rid of him too. We'd rather have George P. Bush. So the Democrats were quite happy to play along with this sham. They always are. They love impeachments when it comes to getting rid of Republicans or conservatives they hate. They love it. And then when it's one of theirs, they say, well, listen, we can't bother the American people with this. There's too many other issues that we need to be concerned about. All the Democrats in the Texas Senate were more than willing to support the backroom Republican effort. However, attorney Tony Busby did a masterful job deconstructing the rumors and innuendo that surrounded the majority of the allegations. By the end of the two-week impeachment trial, the Republicans in Texas were too exposed to maintain their original intent to remove Paxton. The truth overwhelmed the false GOP narrative, and that created a problem for the Texas Republicans, who are, for all intents and purposes, identical to Texas Democrats. See, here again, when you're ready for war, I mean, you've got to know who the enemy is. You've got to be able to identify the enemy, quite unlike George W. Bush and the war against terrorism effort back in the year 2001. 2002. The war is against, who is it against? Iran or Afghanistan or Iraq, maybe? No, no, it's against a tactic. It's a war against terrorism. And see, the same, a lot of people today, they're approaching this war the same way. There's an article at the American Thinker that basically says, okay, it's great, Paxton survived, but now, you know, I hope he concentrates on Biden and the Democrats, on all of these policies that Joe Obama is shoving down our throats. I hope he won't. I hope there's no payback for these rhino Republicans. Well, if they're part of the enemy, I mean, don't you need to identify the enemy? There's a war, after all. Lawfare. That's what we saw play out in the Texas Senate for the last couple of weeks. It says here, the truth overwhelmed the false GOP narrative, and that created a problem for the Texas Republicans, who are, for all intents and purposes, identical to Texas Democrats. This is one of the reasons why national Democrats are so confident they can turn Texas blue in the short period of time. See, this is what these rhino Republicans don't understand. They want to sit down at the bargaining table with, you know, those Democrats, those communist Democrats, and try to reach a compromise. And they don't see the fact that they're being overwhelmed. They're being overrun. Busby says that this is the end of the Bush era in Texas. But look at how this communist ideology spreads. And look at how quickly so many people, even prominent, powerful people, are so quick to surrender to the movement or to try to make peace with the movement instead of fighting against it. Listen again to this from the Friday hearing, clip 8.
When the House Board of Managers brought this case, they made an assumption. They assumed that this man would quit. They assumed that this man would run and hide. They assumed that Attorney General Ken Paxton would resign. Well, guess what? He did not resign. He is proud and is ready to go back to work. They thought they could bring a bunch of people, 15 people, not put under oath, with a bunch of supposition and guesses and mights and maybes, and they thought he would quit. The Texas Tribune, the Dallas Morning News, the Houston Chronicle, they thought he would quit. He did not quit. He did not quit. And he will not quit.
You see what's at play here? You see the strategy? It's the same playbook over and again. The process is the punishment. When these rhinos thought that once the Dallas Morning News and the Houston Chronicle convicted Ken Paxton, they thought he would quit. They thought he would resign. There were some good, there were even some MAGA Republicans in Washington that said he should resign. So easy, isn't it, to surrender to this demonic movement? It's so easy to just give in, to just quit. But one of the laws of success, as Herbert Armstrong taught us, is to never quit, never give up, never surrender. Certainly not to the forces of evil. We've got to surrender to God, of course. We're tools, we're instruments in His hand. But Paxton, he exposed the election fraud. He supported Donald Trump, and he was resisting against Joe Obama in Texas. And therefore, the Bush dynasty said he had to go. How revealing is that? We're seeing a lot in this warfare. So much is being revealed. We're seeing who's on the one side, who's on the other side, and then we're seeing all the ones that are neutral. All the ones that are so willing to compromise, even with the enemy. Donald Trump had an interview over the weekend. This was on Meet the Press, and it's interesting. I think Kristen Welker's her name. She takes over for Chuck Todd, and she gives this, you know, monologue at the start, talking about all the women and the people of color that made it possible for her to be where she is. And isn't it interesting that for as much as they hate Donald Trump, Who's the first person she brings onto her show? Who's the first person that she interviews? Donald John Trump, of course. Well, you got to get some ratings. And people watch Donald Trump. People love seeing what Donald Trump has to say. But listen to the way Donald Trump handled her during one exchange. This is clip three.
As you think about the possibility of a second term, do you still think that democracy is the most effective form of government?
I do, but it has to be a democracy that's fair. This democracy is, I don't consider us to have much of a democracy right now. They indict their political opponent. Free speech is shot because the press is very dishonest. Very dishonest, I have to say. Even the way you fight me on simple questions like, you know, the border and this, you fight me so much. And I'm saying, why are you fighting me? Do you know, when I first ran, the approval rating of the media was very high. And now it's very low. It may be below Congress, which is pretty hard to believe. People understand what's going on. We need a media that's free and fair. And frankly, if they don't have that, it's very, very hard to straighten out our country.
No one else speaks to the regime media like that. Why would you fight me on something so simple that everyone, it would seem, could agree upon? The border, for example. There's something like 6 million people that have crossed into the United States illegally since Joe Biden was installed as the fake president. You can't sit. Why do you fight me? Why would you fight me on something that's just common sense for everyone else? This is a man who knows what he's going up against. He now sees the enemy. He sees it all across the spectrum, whether it's the radical Democrats or the rhino Republicans, the regime media. They're all aligned against him. And then, of course, there he is, standing virtually alone. Again, no one speaks to these powerful, powerful people in high places in the regime media. They don't. They're afraid. They cower in fear. They want to compromise. Listen to what he had to say about the election steal. Clip one.
Have a lot of
when you say you needed one-tenth of a point.
One-tenth of a point? I needed a very small.
To win?
I think somebody said 22,000 votes.
To win?
Yeah. If you divided among the states, it was 22,000 votes, something to that effect. Yeah.
To win the election?
Yeah, if I would have had another 22,000 votes over the whole...
But
look, they rigged the election. If you look at Pennsylvania,
but Mr. President,
if you
you're
look
saying
at all
you needed
stuff,
more votes to win the election, are you acknowledging
me,
you didn't
you
win?
If you look at all of the statistics, all of the votes, they say 22,000 votes over millions and millions of votes, 22,000 votes. So when they do Twitter files or when they have 51 intelligence agents come out and lie that the laptop from hell was Russia disinformation, and now they find out it's not. But they knew that at the time. They cheated on the election in that way, too.
I just want to be clear, though. Are you saying you needed those votes in order to win? Are you acknowledging you didn't win?
I'm not acknowledging. No, I say I won the election.
She thought she had her gotcha moment when he talked about needing another 22,000 to win. Well, are you saying you didn't win then? Are you acknowledging that you lost? No, actually, I'm acknowledging or pointing out just how careful and precise they were to steal the election. They knew they needed just this many more votes to get it over the top. He stands his ground. There's a consistency to the message. Listen to one more with respect to January 6th. You see, that false narrative, he won't go along with it. Mike Pence and all the others, the George W. Bush Republicans, they go along with it. They let Kristen Welker establish the narrative, and then they just meekly, weakly, they go along weakly. By that I mean they're weak. They're cowards. They won't stand against the onslaught. Clip two.
The mayor of D.C. gave us a letter saying that she turns it down. Okay, we have it. Nancy Pelosi also was asked, and she turned it down. The police commissioner.
I'm talking about
Capitol
the day
police,
of.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Capitol Police said that he wanted it, and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't accept it. She's responsible for January 6th.
Mr. President.
Nancy Pelosi's responsible.
Mr. President, you're the president, though.
You refuse to interview.
You have authorities that no one else has as the commander-in-chief. Do you think you showed leadership on that?
Yes, absolutely, I did.
Okay.
He did. And Nancy Pelosi's responsible. She's the one that wouldn't bring in the National Guard, that wouldn't add to the police numbers. She's the one that wanted a fake insurrection, because this is how they covered up the election steal. Who else is out there even exposing any of this? Not very many people. But it does show you, doesn't it? I think the Ken Paxton trial shows that even with the corrupt judicial system, of course, in this case, it wasn't in a federal court, it was in the Texas Senate. But it does show that if you push back, if you fight back, there might be some good things that happen in the end. You can look at our example with respect to fighting for Mystery of the Ages. We got unjust rulings in court. We filed a petition to the Supreme Court to try to get it overturned. The Supreme Court at that time, this was back in 2001, they wouldn't hear it. And yet we kept pushing, we kept fighting. And what happened in the end? Well, in the end, we ended up with Mystery of the Ages. We ended up with this book right here, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. We ended up with The Incredible Human Potential. All these books by Herbert Armstrong. We ended up with The Missing Dimension in Sex. We ended up with Herbert Armstrong's autobiography. We ended up with all of the correspondence course lessons, the Bible correspondence course. God gave it all to us. Think about what would have happened if it was a 6-year court case, 6 years of litigation. What would have happened if after year 4, we decided, you know what, it's too much. It's been a grueling 3 or 4 years already. Let's just cut our losses and move on. That's exactly the way so many people think in Washington, in Austin, all over the country, in state legislatures. They don't have the courage to stand against this onslaught, this attack. We skipped over number 6. Go back and play this from the hearing in Texas on Friday.
There is shame here, and the shame sits right there, that they would bring this case in this chamber with no evidence. I am proud to represent Attorney General Ken Paxton. If this can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
There's shame here, he said. And then, did you see him gesture over to his left? You know who he was pointing at? He was pointing at all of these high-powered, high-paid prosecuting attorneys. $500 an hour. All of them getting paid $500 an hour. For what? To build up a case to destroy Ken Paxton, a case built upon, established upon lies and innuendo, accusations, rumors, gossip. What does it say about the devil in Revelation 12? It says he's the accuser of the brethren. Satan, the devil, loves false accusations. Well, he spreads those all the time. All the time. Here's yet another sham impeachment proceeding where in the end, at least in the end, there was no conviction. Whether it was Donald Trump 1, hoax impeachment, sham impeachment, or number 2, or now this one in Texas. The devil comes after you. You better be willing to fight. You better be willing to go to stand against your adversary. Read through Ephesians 6. God says, put on the whole armor of God. Why do we put on the armor, spiritually speaking? Well, because we're engaged in warfare. And we've got to stand against the devil and all of his attacks. 1 Peter 5, James 4, some great sections of Scripture with respect to our spiritual battle. You might have seen some clips over the weekend. Some of these I mean, these attacks. Black people just randomly pummeling or in some cases killing white victims. And if the races are reversed, I mean, it would be nonstop coverage probably for the rest of this year. Here's a case of six black thieves beating up an older white woman. And they did it so they could steal cigarettes and some candy and $100. And the woman's there getting beaten up. She's just getting pummeled. She's screaming, take whatever you want. Just take it. I don't care. Take what you want. But it wasn't enough. You see, you got to punch her and kick her as well. There's another case. I believe this was in Las Vegas. Two black teenagers stealing an automobile and then just killing a cyclist. He was a former police chief, I believe. 64 years of age. They speed through traffic and they ram this cyclist. They kill this man. And they're filming it on video and laughing as they go. What is happening to the United States? I was just in Chicago over the weekend. And the host, the minister there hosting us, just told me some of the random acts of violence that go on now in Chicago. It's not as safe as it used to be for tourists and the Magnificent Mile and all these other places that people used to flock to. It's just too dangerous. Too many shootings. And more these gangs are shooting at one another while they're on the highway because they can get away so quickly. Just pull up to the other gang, you know, gun them down while they're driving and then speed off the exit ramp. This is every man for himself. I mean, this is not going to end well. Another story here. This is from the NBC News. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy was ambushed and killed in his patrol car by an unknown person Saturday. Authorities suspect the deputy was targeted simply because he was in uniform. Just because he's wearing a uniform. This article, so far as I know, doesn't mention the race of the perpetrator. But be assured, if it was a black officer and a white murderer, we'd know the race within 2 seconds. Just walking up randomly or driving by a police officer and shooting him because he's the police. Where's Nancy Pelosi? I thought they're pro-police. 'Fox News, an elderly man was shot dead in front of his wife Sunday morning on a New York City street by a ski mask wearing gunman on a bicycle. He's just riding by on his bike and he shoots an 80-year-old man to death. Didn't steal anything, didn't mug the guy, didn't rob the guy. Just killed the 80-year-old man in cold blood. The suspect, who was dressed entirely in black, including a black ski mask, rode up next to Valerio on the sidewalk and shot him twice, one of the shots striking him point blank in the head. Wasn't the dear leader supposed to heal the wounds, the racially motivated violence, the racial divide in the United States? That's what we were promised. That was part of the campaign, wasn't it? That was part of the regime media's agenda or campaign back in 2008. My father wrote, this is from June of 2008, I think I referred to this coworker letter last week. It says, if poisonous ideas are given credibility by educational leaders who are mostly elite white Americans, shouldn't surprise us that African-American leaders are receptive to them too. It says, this presidential election is different from any other. It's revealing a lot of racism in America, but here is the hidden danger. It's also inflaming more racism as it continues. I mean, these are crimes that were just unthinkable not that long ago. I mean, America's had a problem with murder for quite some time. But just random acts of killing someone and then laughing your way right on by, whether you're on a bike or a car that you've stolen. says after winning the Democratic nomination, Mr. Obama immediately appointed Howard Dean to continue in his office. It sounds like an appointment Jeremiah Wright would advise him to make. We read this to you last week, but it's worth repeating. Mr. Obama says he's going to bring the races together, but we're seeing actions that will do just the opposite. Says further on, there is no evidence that Barack Obama ever challenged one of Jeremiah Wright's racist, hateful views, not even one. Well, he praised those individuals. Jeremiah Wright, he praised them in his book. Frank Marshall Davis, the communist pornographer. Yeah, he brought Obama up. And then when Obama was a young man, he went into Jeremiah Wright's church. And these fools in the regime media were there telling us in 2008 that Barack Hussein Obama was going to heal the racial divide. We weren't telling you that. We were telling you the truth. And now look at where we are. I mean, it's hard to even watch a speeding car as it comes up to a 64-year-old guy in his bicycle and just crashes right through him. There was a headline that said this guy died because of a bike crash. I forget which newspaper that was, but a bike crash? He was mowed down by two lunatic thugs. You can't even get honesty in the regime media when these kinds of atrocities happen. That's where we are. I tell you, going back to some of the first stories we went through, it's going to take some courage in these last days to be a true Christian, to really stand up for what's right and true and honest and just, to speak the truth in love, as Paul said. It says here, if Mr. Obama really disagreed with Wright, how could he not speak up? Surely this is directly tied to the leadership potential of this man who would be president. Certainly this reveals some strong insights into his views about race, foreign policy, and many other issues. Many people believe, finally it says here, many people believe that Mr. Obama is going to greatly improve race relations, but our racial problems are going to rapidly get worse. That was written back in 2008. Here we are 15 years on. And it's not even just random acts of violence. A lot of people these days, they want to film it and then laugh and cheer about it. It's unbelievable. The sickness that has set in. Back in 2015, this was at the Trumpet magazine, my father says, as I wrote in last month's cover story, many politicians and media figures see the violence hitting our cities as being justified. They want to limit the police's power and ability to control these situations, and they are succeeding. They see it. A lot of them believe this in their heart of heart, except with January 6th. I mean, there the police are, they are to be defended. And in fact, make up narratives with respect to that, that the police officers at the Capitol were gunned down. Make up false narratives that the MAGA protesters came with armed weapons. They had weapons, rifles, firearms, bombs. But everywhere else you see their true intentions with respect to law enforcement. You see what they really think about law enforcement. Another police officer gunned down because he's law enforcement? Well, you know, big deal. I mean, we've got so much racial inequality. We've got to send a message. The violence in this case, the violence certainly in the case of 2020, the Summer of Love, is justified. It's justified. That's from 2015. This is the Trumpet magazine. If you haven't subscribed to it yet, call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. There's no cost or obligation. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
I've always thought it so, it's just hilarious that you have people that actually support Donald Trump, have listened to what he has said, the nonsense, the garble, the word salad, the whatever you want to call it, just the absolute insanity if you follow the transcripts. And then they look at Joe Biden and say, oh, he's cognitively impaired. When you follow any Joe Biden press conference, as far as actual facts, as far as actual policy prescriptions, and compare them to just about any other Donald Trump press conference, there's just not a comparison. At the end of the day, though, if you cut down underneath that and just talk about who is cogent on policy, Donald Trump loses by a landslide.
So Joe Biden is brilliant and Donald Trump is cognitively impaired. Got it. Thanks, Joe, for your expert analysis. That's Morning Joe. That's a little taste of what you get on a daily basis. These individuals, these institutions, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Morning Joe, the night before, Rachel Maddow, all saying the same thing. Giving you the same talking points day after day after day. Yesterday was Constitution Day. A lot of you probably didn't even know that because, well, we've certainly got a lot of holidays to celebrate in the United States, but Constitution Day isn't one that's that important. Of course, the Constitution's being shredded, but it's worth mentioning, even if for a few minutes here, just how important the Constitution or the supreme law of the land, how important it is. When General Michael Flynn was here, he pulled that little Constitution book out of his inside pocket in his suit. And he said, I carry it around with me. You should read it. It's basically like a long article in the Trumpet magazine. It's not really that much material. But he said, read it. Study it. This is our supreme law, after all. This is from Newsweek. It says Constitution Day falls on September 17. As I say, that was yesterday. And it doesn't get anywhere near the recognition it deserves. If Independence Day is a major national celebration, Constitution Day is a minor footnote on the calendar by comparison. We don't need fireworks and barbecues to mark the occasion, but at the least, every American school, community, and individual citizen should spend time reflecting on the meaning of the Constitution. How much are our young people getting this in school? Just really emphasizing it and stressing it in school would go a long way toward helping the oncoming generation. It says, but college campuses aren't the only places where the Constitution should be taught, studied, and celebrated. Every community in America should observe Constitution Day. Every community should observe this. Every community should celebrate this. Our Constitution has world historical significance. The American founders held wide-ranging views and debated vigorously among themselves, but they agreed that their country's destiny mattered to all mankind. In the first installment of The Federalist, for example, Alexander Hamilton wrote about the important question on which the people had been called to deliberate, whether societies of men are really capable or not of establishing good government from reflection and choice, or whether they are forever destined to depend for their potential, or sorry, their political constitutions on accident and force. It says, in short, the time had come for the American people to examine their capacity for ongoing deliberation, and the outcome would determine whether human beings could govern themselves. Echoing the writers of the Federalist Papers, 76 years later, Abraham Lincoln famously declared that the Civil War was a similar test. The outcome of that conflict would determine whether American constitutional principles can long endure. You're going to be tested on whether or not you love the truth, to paraphrase what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2. God, in the case of the Laodiceans in this end time, he sent strong delusion to see how much they really loved the truth, to see how much they were really grounded in the law of love. That's what God's law is. It's a law of love. Constitutionalism did not end with the founding generation. Americans today, 236 years after the fateful convention in Philadelphia, are stewards of the Constitution. September 17, then, should be an important date on our national calendar. It certainly should be. Constitutional law, look into the Bible and see just how central the law of love is to everything that we believe and teach and practice. The prophet Jeremiah in Psalm 119, it's a beautiful psalm. It's a long psalm. Go through it sometime and see how the prophet refers to God's law. It says in verse 72, "The law of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." It's so valuable, said this great prophet of God. It's more valuable than anything in this material world. It says in verse 92, "Unless your law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction." Your law is what saved me. Your law is what healed me. Your law is what protected me. And then down in verse 97, you get to the even more familiar verses in this passage. It says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I mean, he meditated on the supreme law of God all day long. Do you see God's law like this great prophet of God did? You talk about the simplicity of the Constitution, pulling out a tiny little book from your inside pocket. But think about the Ten Commandments. I mean, there's an even greater simplicity there. You can zip right through it in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. And of course, God expands upon those 10 great commands all through the Bible. Jesus talked about the two great laws, love toward God and his family above all else, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Matthew 22. Paul writes about the law of love, even listing out some of the Ten Commandments in Romans 13. I mean, it's in the Bible from beginning to end, Old Testament and New. Don't believe those no-law deceivers who are out there saying that God's law has been done away or it's been nailed to the cross. It certainly hasn't been. Jesus came to be crucified because of sin, because of what we've earned because of our sins. And that penalty, eternal death, read Romans 6 and verse 23. That penalty, eternal death, can be removed upon repentance and faith. But what do we need to repent of? Sin. What is sin? 1 John 3, 4. Sin is the transgression of God's law, of the supreme law of God. this passage in Psalm 119. It continues, though through your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, you through your commandments. It says, for they are ever with me. You've made me wiser than my enemies. Just studying the law of God, it educates you in God's ways and his way of thinking. And we're here, Isaiah 1:18 says that we're here to reason together with God. How educated, how smart, how intellectual you'll become. I mean, in a spiritual sense, if you delve into God's word, it says here in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You can continue on in this study. Like I said, it's a beautiful psalm from start to finish, and there's many others like them, many others like this particular psalm. But that's all we have time to go through today. The 800 number to get the free literature, 1-866-930-3024. If you want to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about my Twitter handle, that's @StephenFlurry, Stephen with the PH, and then the Rumble channel too. If you're there watching live as we speak, make sure you give us the thumbs up on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.
Live streaming at kpcg.fm.
Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
Good afternoon. It's the top of the hour. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, kpcg.fm online and 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area.